This podcast replay is brought to you by Craig Zinn's Acura Pembroke Pines. Visit the number one volume Acura dealership in the Southeast United States 12 years in a row at 15601 Pines Boulevard in Pembroke Pines. Where number three is on the air. Thank you all for tuning in. I'm sure also Nick Saban is happy, right?
Coach, in talking about the future of the team, you are the focal point of this team. Are you willing to entertain Alabama's offer?
I think we're talking about this press conference is about our football team right now. And if there's something new to report, it'll certainly get reported. And I'm committed to doing my job well here because this is my job, and that's what I've done all day today. And that's what I will continue to do.
Alabama did make an offer.
Excuse me. No, he set some guidelines. There are a lot of other people here, and we don't want the press conference hijacked. There are a lot of people want to know about our players. I appreciate you considering that.
Harvey Green.
I already answered the question.
It's already been answered. I don't want you guys to lose your opportunity to ask your questions about the team and the players. Thank you.
There you go. So that was one. And then?
There was a report up on NFL.com again about Alabama and you.
You know, I have no other comments to make about that. I mean, I don't know how many times I got to respond to rumor and innuendo. I have no control of it. I've stated what my intentions are, and they really haven't changed. So I don't know what the issue is, and I don't know why people keep asking about it. What they talk about over there is their business, but what's happening here is my business and our business, and that's what we're focused on, and that's what I'm committed to doing. I don't know how else I can say it, guys. I've said it three different occasions, and I don't know how else I can say it. And I don't know why you keep asking. I don't control what people say. I don't control what people put on .com or anything else. So I'm just telling you there's no significance, in my opinion, about this, about me, about any interest that I have in anything other than being the coach here.
Why don't you just say, I'm not going to be the Alabama coach?
I think I just said that. Did I not say that? Why didn't I say that?
Well, you didn't say it in those words.
Well, then I guess I have to say it. I'm not going to be the Alabama coach. What? I shouldn't even have to comment on this. I think I've said this over and over and over again.
Coach, would you at least admit that it's kind of strange that it's taken them this long to find their replacement for Mike Shula?
No, I don't. You know what, guys? They handle their business. It's none of my business. It really isn't.
You have experience in seeing job openings before. So, I mean.
Yeah, and there's rumors and innuendo all the time. So what they do with their position is their business.
Now, by the way, Dave Hyde asked the first couple questions, and then that was Len Martez, my boy, who's out in the West Coast, following up with that after that. So, because nobody ever mentions Len Martez on the follow-ups. Everybody always mentions Dave Hyde, you know, but obviously I have the whole soundbite and everything because I was there and all that good stuff. But, so it's just, you know, Saban being Saban. I'm just tired of excuses, dude. You failed, bro. You failed. Stop making excuses. You're the one that hired Culpepper. You bought Culpepper. That's you traded for Culpepper. So you made that mistake, not anybody else. So if you didn't get Drew Brees, which you didn't even know how that was going to work out. Oh, I went to go see James Andrews and he cleared him, but then our doctors didn't. So yeah, let's just throw the Dolphins doctors under the bus. The problem is, and here's something that a lot of people don't know about this. Aaron Brooks had a rotator cuff injury also. It was similar, not exactly like Drew Brees's. It was a little different, but their doctors also had experience because they had traded for Aaron Brooks from Green Bay. Ron Wolf traded. Ron Wolf, at one moment, he had Brett Favre. He traded Aaron Brooks to New Orleans and Mark Brunell to Jacksonville. Brunell for a fifth rounder, Aaron Brooks for a fourth rounder. He then the following year drafted Tim Hasselbeck, by the way. But anyway, so Aaron Brooks played for New Orleans and he was a decent quarterback, very athletic kid. He had a whip for an arm, dude, but he suffered a shoulder injury and they had to surgically repair that shoulder. So, and there was questions whether he could make it back and he was able to make it back. But the doctors there had experience in that and bringing it back. It wasn't something that was normal. It's not something that happened a lot in the NFL, throughout its time. It was just something that it was early on in these kind of medical breakthroughs. You know, normally these kind of things would end your career. They figured it out. So then when they when the Drew Brees thing was happening between Miami and New Orleans, well, Miami didn't feel as comfortable because they had never been through a shoulder for a quarterback in the rotator cuff. Whereas New Orleans had more confidence in that because they already had experience with Aaron Brooks. This is something nobody talks about. You know what I mean? But that's the reality of one franchise and the other. So there were like technical issues and decisions behind it that why maybe New Orleans was willing more to take a chance than Miami. And okay, that's fine. It happens. But it's still up to you. You know what I mean? You can make a left turn and avoid the traffic, right? But if you make the right turn and you see a bunch of cars and then you get stuck in traffic, well, then you chose to make that right turn. You chose to go through the traffic. Don't bitch now that you're stuck in it for an hour. Well, you chose the knee of Dante Culpepper. You could have said no to the knee, right? But no, of course, nobody talks about that. Saban's not going to talk about that. You know, enough of the phoniness, please. Okay, I just, you know, I get tired of it, bro. Big O, did you see a Marlins player sent Leo Messi his jersey? Oh, that's nice. No, I did not see that. I did not see it. Messi's not joining this mess. Okay, that's the you know, it's like the Heat zombie thing that we have. We have kind of an Inter Miami zombie thing too going on, right? Inter Miami fans think they're going to buy every player and they think every great player wants to come here. Yeah, if things are going well, do you think they want to join this mess now? You think Messi wants to join this mess? You think Messi wants to be in the middle of this mess? You think that's how he wants to end his career? No. No, that's the other thing that we got to now start moving on. Until Inter Miami creates a sexy environment, they're not going to be able to land one of those elite players. And if you land one of those elite players, he's going to be like Higuain. He's going to be all frustrated because there's nothing around him. So they got to do that. A Saints player tweeted that Saints CB roster included X and said something like, we're going to kill him. Well, maybe. Then they're going to give up a lot to get X, which go for it, baby. Let's go. Bring it on. Ian from Brooklyn, thank you, sir, for your Cash App. I appreciate you, sir. Thank you. Great way to support the show, Cash App or Venmo. And the address is Cash Big O Show. That's Cash Big O Show. Ian, thank you, sir, for your support. I appreciate you immensely. Let's see. Marino's Goat said, got some bad X news. I don't find it so bad. You know, if they do trade him and they get a bunch of picks, I'm sorry. I'm not the guy that's going to freak out, you know, for all this stuff that happens with X. I'm just not. I feel like the Dolphins have a front office. And unlike Saban, they'll figure a way to get it done. That's what Flo does, right? Finds a way to get it done. He designs something on defense. They make changes on offense. They'll make changes with their offensive line coach, the offensive coordinator, whatever it is. Whatever's not working, he tries to fix it. Whatever's underperforming, he tries to improve it. That's what coaches do. That's it. Saban should stop making excuses and apologize to us, the fans, and take responsibility for his failures. You can forget about that, dude. That'll never happen, bro. Never happen with Saban at all. No dice. So Texas and Oklahoma are interested in heading to the SEC. So this is a very interesting story because this is the beginning of the end, obviously, of the Big 12. And you're going to see other conferences going to try to, you know, like maybe the ACC says, let's bring in Central Florida and let's try to steal somebody from the Big Ten or something like that. We're probably headed to only a few, maybe four power conferences now since we have five. Since it's the Power Five, maybe we get down to an even Power Four. That looks like what's going to end up happening. Or the Big 12 is only going to get weaker. Right? I mean, Pac-12 and Big 12 are two conferences that are just incredibly weak. You know, I mean, the ACC is also really weak now that Florida State and Miami suck. They, you know, they're kind of weak too. You know what I mean? I'm sorry if I hurt your feelings or whatever, but Miami and Florida State are nothing. Until further notice, they're absolutely nothing. I love my Canes, but so far I haven't seen Manny Diaz make the Canes special in any way, shape, or form, okay? So we look at this situation, and now, and the SEC is obviously, they're looking to just become even more powerful than they are already. I mean, really, you're pulling out two of their better teams in that conference, two teams that have an incredible rich history, okay? And you've already added like a Texas A&M. So it's, you know, this whole traditional stuff goes out the window. So adding Oklahoma when it's not really, you know, in the Southeast Conference and all that kind of stuff, it's not a big deal anymore, man. That's just not, it's about money. It's about power. And Oklahoma and Texas, they make money in the Big 12, but they know they could probably make more money in the SEC and get even more spotlight in the SEC. Now, it'll be harder for them, obviously, because the SEC is the best conference in football. But this is just another way of the SEC keeping its stranglehold on college football. Because as much as any of us that are ACC fans or Pac-12 fans or Big 10 or Big 12, you know, you want to try to argue it, you can go ahead and argue it. There's no argument. The best conference in football, in college football, has been the SEC. And it's been like that for nearly two decades now. And that's not going to change. And if you add Texas and you add Oklahoma and you add two traditional powers like that, I mean, now, I will say this. Oklahoma, you better start learning how to play defense, bro. Because in the SEC, they can play some defense. I know that college football doesn't have the kind of defenses we had in the past because all the rules favor the offense. So it's much harder to play defense. But still, you'll see better defensive efforts in the SEC than you will in any other conference on a week in and week out basis overall. But Oklahoma and Texas now going to the Big 12, it's all about money, man. All about money, all about power. And that's exactly what the SEC is doing. They're just becoming a bigger giant. It's like you're watching those, I don't know, type of sci-fi movies that whatever it eats, it gets more powerful as it eats. If it's eating up electronical things and it's getting more juice from it or whatever the hell, that's exactly what's going on with the SEC. It's just becoming a bigger monster than it already is. And a sexier monster too. That's the other thing. Because you add Oklahoma and you add Texas, you become sexier because those are two powerhouse traditional names. And hell, you got to give Lincoln Riley some credit. He's put Oklahoma offensively on the map where they're producing a damn Heisman quarterback almost every year now. They just picked up a kid. I think I just read a really highly touted quarterback also to join the Sooners. I don't know the kid's name. I don't get too caught up in it, but in passing, I did see that. But this is scary stuff, man. Scary stuff. It becomes like the must-see conference when it's all said and done. Jose says, unless you give something Miami can't resist, X is not leaving Miami. They hold all the cards. Jose, X is leaving Miami. Okay? Just be prepared, dude. It's going to happen. If it doesn't happen now, it'll happen after the end of the season, which I think that's when it happens. Now, you know, what I would like you to do, if you did not catch our interview, I think it was, let me look here. I think it was 3 days ago, right? 3 days ago it was. Larry Holder joined us. And Larry is the beat writer for the Saints. So I wanted to bring him on because obviously there's been a lot of talk. And go listen to that interview. It's a great interview. Larry had some great insight. But one of the nuggets he added in all of this is that he thinks the Saints are the one team that could be desperate enough to make the move for X before this season starts. Because my discussion or my argument to the whole point is the cap hit is significantly less after this season. So I'm thinking they're going to hold on to him one more year. He's going to have to play, because if he wants to make his $12 million, he has to play. So he'll make his money, and at the end of the year, they will then, with 2 years under the belt, he's healthy, hopefully. He has another good season, hopefully. He doesn't have any off-the-field issues, hopefully. And then they trade him, and then that way they know where everybody stands draft-wise, because the season's done. You know what I'm saying? But Larry goes, you know, they are so desperate for a cornerback, and Lattimore has been good, and then he has some of the down moments. So maybe they're not so sure about giving him the contract, and they'd rather trade for X with the contract in place, give him a couple more guarantees, and let Lattimore go the following, you know, at the end of the season, and then draft another kid to put opposite of X. Maybe that's what they do. I don't know. But the strange part to me is, and Larry felt like his, you know, the Saints are, the ceiling is 10 wins. I just don't feel you win 10 games with those quarterbacks. I just don't. I have a hard time believing that. That's the only thing. That's why if I'm the Saints, why would I make this move when I'm going to acquire X, I'm going to put all my eggs in that basket, and I'm risking it when I really don't have a Super Bowl caliber team. That's what I, if I'm trading for X, it's because I'm an X away from a Super Bowl, right? If I'm a team, I don't believe the Saints are an X away from the Super Bowl, because I don't believe the Saints have a quarterback. I don't believe in Jameis Winston, and I certainly don't believe in Taysom Hill. I don't believe a gadget quarterback is going to carry you all the way to a Super Bowl and win it. I'm sorry. Your team is going to have to be so incredibly dominant, and the Saints are good, but they're not incredibly dominant. Now, I'm not going to go there. So that's my problem. Listen to that interview with Larry Holder. Go back and check that one out. We did it earlier this week. Really, really good interview. Really, really good insight from Larry Holder here, talking a little bit about it. Giovanni says, X is a great playmaker, but if my man's going to be acting selfish, he can go. I root for the name on the front of the jersey, not the name on the back. I'm with you, bro. And like I said to other callers throughout this week, didn't they get rid of Minka, and everybody, you know, not everybody, but a bunch of you panicked. Oh my God, they're trading away Minka. Oh my God, they're trading away Laremy Tunsil. They can't win. Well, they won 10 games last year without those two guys, right? Without X the first year, their defense got better and better and better, and they won the biggest, so far, the biggest game in their two-year history under Flo was the last game of the first season in New England without X against the best quarterback in the NFL. The best quarterback in NFL history could not beat that defense and get him into the playoffs. Oh, I'm sorry, get into the bye week. I'm sorry. They ended up in the wild card round, and thanks to that defense without X, that started the beginning of the end of the dynasty without X. I think the Dolphins have a great front office and a great coaching staff, and they will figure things out, man. And if they trade him, they'll figure out another way to be great. That's all. That's the way I look at it, man. So we'll find out if everything ends up working out for the Miami Dolphins. What else do we have to talk about? Did you guys see Susie Cortez? Now, you know, we talk about craziness, and this is absolute craziness. So this is, they call her the two-time bum champion. Okay. That means she's got a great ass. And Susie wanted to show her love because Messi and company won Copa America, as you all know out there, right? So Susie wanted to celebrate the win by going and getting a new tattoo. Yeah. Now, she got the new tattoo, not on her ass, but in the middle of it, in the center of it. She ended up getting a tattoo of Messi in her butt. Okay? Think about it. Just let just marinate a little bit on that one right there. Okay? A tattoo on the butt. Now, I don't have any tattoos, but I hear tattoos hurt. You feel some pain no matter what. And I would imagine that if you're doing it in the bottom of your hands, or you're doing it on your neck or face, or you're doing it on your feet or whatever, you know, sensitive areas. I can't imagine doing it in that sensitive area. Okay? The bum champion, Susie Cortez. And so she's there. They show the pics of her, and she's on all fours. And you don't see, obviously, you have to go to her fans only page. So if any of you are signed up to Susie Cortez's fans only page, you can check out her back door with Messi on it. So I'm thinking about this. I told you Messi would not join the mess that is Inter Miami right now. So when she goes to the bathroom for number two, what's coming out of Messi's mouth? I mean, if there's not something going out, there's something penetrating. It's just, you know, kind of odd. You go to bed with somebody. If the lights are on, she gets in the position, and you're about to, you know, get into the runway and take off, and you're like, whoa. And she's just saying, stick it in his mouth. I mean, you know, it's just weird, odd, just, yeah, you know, you're banging a woman with a Messi tattoo in the back door. And if you're Messi, how do you feel about that? Is that really respect? Is that really love? You know, you put it on your arm, you put it on your thigh, you put it on your chest, on your back or something, but I honor you so much that I'm putting a tattoo in the center of my ass in your honor. Yeah, the place where I take a dump, the place where maybe some other action happens. These are things I think of. I'm sorry. I can't help it. You know, just weird, just twisted. Can't answer it. Yesterday, I'm watching a story on the Olympics, and they're talking to a person, an IOC official that represents England. Dude's name is Dick Pound. I was just thinking about that. So your name is Dick Pound. What kind of jokes have you heard your entire life? I'm not joking. Go to my Twitter page. It's there. I took a picture of it and everything. Dude's name is Dick Pound. I mean, when your kid is born, your name Pound, that's your last name. Does it ever cross your mind? Do you like look at your wife? Let's call him Dick. Dick Pound. I'm sorry. Now, did the wife turn to him and say, why do you want to tell people how we created this baby? I don't know. I mean, it's just, you know, it's just weird. What kind of jokes did that guy hear? Because, you know, kids are cruel. Can you imagine you're in fifth grade and the teacher says Dick Pound? I mean, everybody, how many people actually just laugh? Like, that's not your name, right? No, yes, that's my name. And, you know, whoa. I mean, let's go. Parents, have a heart now. You know, it's, you know, when you name your kid Igor, that's a problem. I mean, you know, it's, come on. Let's go think about this. These children have to grow up with these kind of names. Do not do this to kids. I mean, at least think about it. I get it. You're in the euphoria of having the child, and it's an incredible feat, and it's a blessing from the Lord that you're able to have a child and all of that. But then you go and name him Dick Pound? Seriously? I mean, I would imagine that guy ended up in a lot of fights. Right? I mean, come on. Dick Pound. That is just, wow. Go to my Twitter page, Big O Show. Okay? See, these are things you find on our Twitter page. You won't find anywhere else. We go to the depths that others will not go to. Big O, when you were a beat reporter, did you ever meet Greer? Yeah, man. Yeah. Yeah, I talked to him. I talked to Greer several times, not just at the facility. Actually, believe it or not, I talked to Greer more at the Orlando Football Classic, at the East-West Shrine Game, at the Senior Bowl. Why do you think I go to those places? Why do you think I go to the Combine every year? Why do you think I go to all those places? Why? Because I get to talk to GMs and personnel directors, whether it's pro personnel, college directors. I get to see scouts. I get to talk to them. I go have beers with them and all that. I haven't hung out with Chris, but I have talked to him on the field after practices, all that kind of stuff several times overall. Yes, definitely. But several Dolphin guys on the road, I get access to them a lot. At home, we get no access to them. It's impossible. That's why I started going on the road, because there was no way I was going to make any headway in this business if I did not go on the road to physically meet people so I can get information. Big O, are the rumors and concerns about Tua from some in the front office true? I don't know what you're talking about, bro. What are you talking about, bro? What are we talking? Are you talking about Adam Beasley? Seriously, bro? I love Adam, bro. There's no concerns. Okay. Adam's just right. He and Florio just write the drama because that's what gets clicks, bro. You know, it's an easy, lazy take to have. It's not the truth, because they've shown you what the truth is. They've built completely around the kid. They've done everything. They got his quarterback's coach fresh out of high school in Charlie Fry. They're designing the offense for him. They got quick twitch receivers. I mean, I don't know what more people need to see. They're committed to this kid. Now, in a year or two, if he sucks, yeah, they got to go to another direction. Duh! Everybody knows that. But I don't expect that to happen. So, you know what, Jose? It's the same thing that's happening in crypto. We had a lot of normal, hardworking people that have lost billions of dollars in the last couple of months because they fell into the FUD and they believed the bullshit that people were throwing out there in crypto. Okay. While we know the power brokers are controlling it right now and lowering the prices and putting the scare so they can jump in, because there's billions of dollars sitting right now in stable coins and they're going to go right back into the crypto market right away. And pretty soon you're going to start seeing this thing take off again. Right. And then a lot of people that lost money, they got frustrated because they believed in the freaking FUD that was all crap. This is what's been going on. It's football FUD. What's been going on with Tua, okay? Tua FUD. That's what I should call it. Don't believe the Tua FUD. That none of it is true. Not Florio, not Beasley. They're both wrong, dead wrong about that, okay? So that has – look at all the moves they've made. Doesn't make any sense that you would acquire all this, and now you're going to have to give up a ton of picks to get somebody else. That just doesn't jive, man. Let's see. Hey, oh, you're a pervert. We love it. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. Let's see. Messi and his family was just here at Hard Rock Guitar Hotel. There you go. Was he jamming? Omar himself admitted that any article about QBs get three times more clicks. Add hot topic controversy to that and you have clickbait. Exactly. That's all. I love Beasley. Nothing personal. But for me, in my book, that's all he's doing is clickbait crap. That's it. That's all he's constantly stayed on that. And guess what? He and Florio have constantly been wrong throughout. You know? So, hey, keep going. Maybe Tua doesn't work out a year or two from now. And then you can say, oh, you see, I told you so, when it really wasn't. They're committed to Tua. They're committed clearly to Tua. Everything's been done for Tua to succeed. They're not going to give up on the plan now. Plus, it's going to make the front office and the coaching staff look so much better if they found their quarterback and they brought him along and they developed him and he became a stud here. It's really, I don't mind adding Aaron Rodgers, Deshaun Watson, if he's innocent, okay? Because if he's guilty, I don't want that scumbag here. You know, if he's dirty and he has been doing this to women, then I don't want anything to do with the guy. I don't care what he can play. But I get it if you want to acquire an accomplished quarterback. I got no problem with that. I understand you want to win. Got no problem. That's why you acquire Shaquille O'Neal, and that's why you acquire Alonzo Mourning and Timmy Hardaway and LeBron James and Chris Bosh and Jimmy Butler, because you're trying to win. So I get trying to acquire a great talent. But everything that's happened throughout the entire offseason only dictates one thing, They are completely committed to Tua. That's all it said. So, love Beasley, but I think he's dead ass wrong. Okay? I think he's just writing clickbait. That's all he's doing. And I think that's, and Florio does that for a living, as it is with Pro Football Talk. So I expect it from that website. You know what I mean? But that's, you know, you don't have anything else to say. I told you guys this. It's boring to say what I just said about Tua. Why? Because it's the truth. It's boring. It's dramatic to say, oh, they still could be trading for him. Oh, they could be still questions about him. Oh, they're concerned about him. That's always better. But yet, none of that has ever reared its ugly head. None of it. Now, maybe a year or two from now, after legitimate stage for him, and you watch what his performance is, then yeah, maybe at that point they make a move because he hasn't reached the pinnacles that they want him to. Okay, I can live with that. I can understand that. That makes sense. But no, I'm sorry. Don't believe the bullshit. That's all I can tell you. This just in from Beasley. Marino working out for the Finns. Hey-o, tell you what. That expansion draft on ESPN yesterday was boring. Yeah, but the Marshawn Lynch one was entertaining. All right, we'll take my boy, whatever it was, Bell or Hell or Cell or whatever the guy's name is. That was funny because he couldn't pronounce the last name. That was so Marshawn, it's not even funny. NFL just informed clubs that if a game cannot be rescheduled during the 18-week season in 21 due to COVID outbreak among unvaccinated players, the team with the outbreak will forfeit and credit lose. Oh, there you go. There you go. Wow. You just, bro, that is awesome. That's a great rule right there. Now the Dolphins can take down the Bills because Cole Beasley will take down the Bills. Yeah. Cole Beasley and his ignorant dumbass will take down the Bills. I love it. He gets polluted. He pollutes the locker room. He knocks out Josh Allen for 2 weeks. There we go. Miami wins the division, goes on to the playoffs. It's a beautiful thing. I love it. Love it. Yeah. Cole Beasley, you dumbass. Awesome. Now, I think I'm going to buy a Cole Beasley jersey now and say, do not vaccinate. Awesome. That is fantastic. Think about that. Cole Beasley will take down the Bills all by himself. He's going to be playing cards with Josh Allen one night, and Josh Allen's going to come up with COVID. Unfortunately, nothing will happen to him, but he'll have to be out for 2 weeks. And then, of course, the Dolphins will take advantage. It's a beautiful thing. So as long as they have dumbass Cole Beasley there, yeah, I like it. I like it. Let's see. What else do we have here? Big O, what about his health? Any concerns? Well, it's always a concern. It's always a concern. Yeah, that's the only concern I've said for a while now with Tua that I have is durability. But, dude, the guy came back. I'll put it this way. I'll say this. Let me say this about Tua's health this year that I have not said before, okay? And when you look at Tua's health, of course, there's always a concern because he's had multiple ankle injuries. He had the thumb injury and he had the hip injury, right? He's had major surgeries 3 times already. Obviously, the hip. But having said all that, I am less concerned about his health this year than I was last year. Last year, he wasn't even a year removed from the hip surgery. And he got on the field. He took some hits from several players overall, and the dude never, ever missed a minute of the game, never missed a play because of an injury. And he wasn't even fully healthy. At least now he's had another offseason to build his body back up again and play football. He's healthier now. He's more athletic now. He's stronger now. So I actually have a little less concern about his durability this year than I did last year. Now, remember, The hip injury, completely flukish, just like Bo Jackson. The ankle injuries were also kind of flukish. So we're not really talking about necessarily injuries from a bunch of wear and tear of taking hits and all those kind of things. They were kind of flukish, those injuries. So maybe, just maybe, the kid went through a string of bad luck. And maybe he is durable. He certainly is tough. You don't come back from all those injuries if you're not tough. You don't come off the bench in Alabama to then lead your team to a championship if you're not tough, okay, mentally and physically. And you're not tough. You're not mentally tough or physically tough if you don't do what he did last year. How many people suffer a hip injury in late November and they're lining up and ready to play football in September? That's unheard of, dude. And then he took hits when you know he wasn't his 100% yet. So this year, I actually have slightly less concerns about it. And as time goes on, I will then attribute the injuries to freakish accidents. If he continues to break down, then we can say, okay, then this is clearly a problem. But right now, I'm actually going to give him the benefit of the doubt because, I mean, I don't want this to happen or anything like that. I mean, the year passed already, but really he was kind of set up to get injured last year because he's not even 100%. I wasn't a big fan of having him active in September. Anybody that heard this show, you know it. I wanted him active late in the season when he had a year already of rehab. I was worried about it. But having said all that, he was healthy enough, tough enough to survive this past season and played 10 games of football, man. 10 games of football is tough in the NFL. So this year, my concerns for Tua and his health are slightly less. That's what I would tell you. Okay? And I'm with you. Tua will ball, baby. That is definitely it. Oh, I think UM has suspended Avante. Yeah. But suspension, you better go look at what the hell's going on in this case and make sure that you know, if he is guilty, get him the hell out of there, man. Get him the hell out of there. By the way, congratulations to Maria Taylor. She is headed to NBC. Good for her. Go somewhere where you're wanted and leave the places that you are unappreciated, okay? And that's why I wanted to leave QAM badly, but obviously I was under contract, so I was tied. And when I remember when I got fired, I was the happiest that I've been in a long, long time. And why? Because you don't want to work somewhere where you're not appreciated. You know what I mean? So thank you all out there. We are wrapping it up here. Don't forget, please subscribe. Please smash the hell out of the like button. Follow us on Twitter for all the news and comments and crazy ass posts at Big O Show. Email, if you're ever listening to the podcast all throughout the day, night, weekends, whatever, you got a question, a comment, an insult, BigORadioShow@yahoo.com. And of course, Cash App and Venmo, as always, another way to support our show, Cash Big O Show. I love you all out there. I thank you all out there. We will see you tomorrow. Omar Kelly, Manny Navarro, so far set. We may have another guest. We will have a locked and loaded Friday show for you tomorrow with plenty of things to talk about, as we always do here on the program. Thank you all for tuning in to the Big O Radio Show. Subscribe on all platforms. I love you. Y'all be safe. All right? Be good.
Starting in August, longtime Miami Heat insider Ira Winderman joins the Big O Radio Show. Ira will give insight twice a week on your favorite NBA team. Heat fans get the information you crave from one of the best in the business. From weekly appearances to breaking news, join Ira Winderman exclusively on the Big O Show. Found on most platforms.